Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Julieta Tulevi, and joining me in studio this evening are David Shapiro from Sassman Securities and Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. If you'd like to send us questions, please do. You can SMS us 41392. You can email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or you can tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. David, Wayne, nice to see you both this evening. It's very curious to see the last couple of days in South Africa. The country is going up in flames. Leadership is absent, and the rand is below 14.80 to the dollar. How can you explain this?
Because the algorithms can't. You can't put in that Pick and Pay has been in Boulders has been looted, or Malvern is burning. It doesn't form part of that. As long as the dollar goes weaker and treasuries go down in the US, the rand goes better.
So, but there's now been a big shift in tone over the last couple of weeks, because you had the US dollar being clearly stronger. Mm. I mean, we had the rand blowing out.
Yeah, now China, it's kind of reversing. Economic data came out of China, which is quite encouraging. I might be wrong on this, but I read a thing that's saying that they're going to cut interest rates in China, the interbank repo rate, whatever it is. And that change in Hong Kong was up strongly this morning, and that affected the rand and our market. And of course, even though it's only one blip, the good GDP number definitely helped the rand as well.
Do you feel that it was a number to pin, that it had a solid base, or is it just base effects flattered it?
Look, it's better than a jab in the eye with a sharp stick.
Which is pretty much what we've been getting on a repeated basis.
So a lot of it obviously is base effects, et cetera, et cetera. It's still good news.
Yeah. Wayne mentioned Hong Kong. You also had Carrie Lam, the CEO.
Withdrawing the extradition.
And that also helped.
Although there are, I think, five other conditions that the protesters want to see, I suppose.
Now these are serious protesters. You know, these are of the class
these
of 1968,
resolute.
Yeah. They've learned from 1968, from they don't give up. And look, they're pushing for democracy, and I don't think they're going to
get
anywhere.
That one,
they're not going to get anywhere close to where they want. But the market seemed to say that Carrie Lam had gone far enough. We saw all the luxury goods companies like LVMH and Kering and all of those companies do a lot better. And that lifted Europe as well. You must also remember, you haven't brought in the Johnson effect, you know, the Boris Johnson impact.
I don't actually know what to say about him. I don't know. He might be the shortest
British Prime Minister ever.
It's extraordinary.
But the market responded positively. Because I think the market thinks, well, we're not going to get a hard. Yeah, there's going to be a deal, or we're voting against a no Brexit deal.
And that vote happens now. Literally, it's happening now. Yeah.
I mean, one does wonder why they don't just have another referendum. And because I think everyone would be so sick of it.
They've put the country into turmoil.
I don't think David Cameron thought anything near this. He just thought it was going to be a doddle in the park.
They're all going to stay and it's going to be a doddle. But then honestly, I think the people who voted for Brexit also thought, well, it seems like quite a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, why not?
I'm sure they are ruining the day.
Yeah.
Right, getting on to questions. There have been a couple of questions on Aspen over the last couple of days, last couple of weeks. Yesterday, of course, it rallied Monday? Rallied strongly on the back of a trading update. Then it came back a bit today, down about 3%. The question is, Aspen as a one-year forecast, and also management prospects to reduce debt further, because this is the big monkey on their back, really.
Look, I mean, David and I actually discussed this. It was unusual for Aspen to rally that 12%, close up 8 or 9%. It was up 12, 13 at one stage, because we knew what the results were going to say. They told us. So there was nothing new in there at all. It wasn't like there was a revelation. Oh, debt's down. Yeah. You knew it because they told you that they couldn't tell you often enough they were selling assets.
And they also said in the first half results there would be the conversion of cash ratio would be much, much higher. It would be 100% or above. But clearly, I don't know, you sort of think did the market not believe them?
No, I can only think there was a short squeeze. And the guys who were short there just... This thing's up 1, 2, 3%, then all hell broke loose and the guys had to close their shorts. Mm.
They're not out the woods yet.
They're not out the woods, no.
And I think the worry is whether is not debt. It is debt, sorry, but it's more whether
There's
or
no
not
sales,
they're going to generate exactly. Are they going to generate the cash that will allow them to take that debt even lower?
Unfortunately, with Aspen, it's got to prove itself to the market, and you don't do that with one trading update. It's got a long way to go to prove itself again to the market. It's one of these tainted shares now.
And unfortunately, it's got to prove itself in jurisdictions which are not its home ground and are clearly proving to be tougher than
in an difficult industry.
An industry where governments are pushing down prices. They want the price of medicines to be down.
And this is not stopping. And it's not just South Africa. This is a global trend. It's a very difficult industry to actually justify investing into.
Well, in fact, South Africa had this, if you think about it, the single exit price cap introduced, 15 years ago. So we've gone through it. And they've
and it's not stopping because they're going to now, NHI is essentially capping. Because they're going to tell you what you can charge.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. And the danger is on ethical drug companies, those who are trying to find new drugs. You know, they need money. They need big money in order to do the research and development. They don't just push those drugs through. It's a huge path. It's a long and difficult path to get a drug approved, especially...
And it costs billions of dollars.
It does. Yeah. And, you know, if there's no money in the healthcare industry, it's going to impact R&D. Mm-hmm. Or they will only concentrate on those areas where they can make money.
Yeah.
So other areas of chronic diseases like Alzheimer's and so on, you know, they'll just start to ignore simply because the money's not there.
Yeah. All right. On to a more general question. Please ask the panel their view on systemic risks caused by herding within passive and quant strategies, which, and funny enough, David and I were having this chat before we went on air, which according to JP Morgan now control a combined 80% of US equity assets.
Yeah.
I think there is an illusion of liquidity within these ETFs. Maybe buying undervalued Japanese equities, ETFs, would provide more protection from forced selling due to the large ownership by the BOJ. And I suspect this person is... There was an it was the gentleman who was portrayed in the Michael Lewis' story, The Big Short, the one who went short on subprime. And he talks about a bubble in ETFs and how the size of the market has grown, but he says the exit door is the same size as it ever was.
Yeah.
So if there were some huge stampede out of it, it would be.
I think if you get
painful.
Out, anybody sells an ETF, you've got to sell the underlying stock, which can cause problems. And that, listen, I'm not a I'm a single person. I buy stocks. I just buy a collection of stocks. So I'm not an ETF person, and I blame Jack Bogle for having screwed up the entire business. You know, even the JSE now are not friendly towards small clients. You know, they really want dark pools and they want institutional business. So the poor old, those clients who used to buy 100 Anglo-American or 100 West Deep Levels or a few thousand Lorraines in the day, you know, all those private, they're gone. So, yeah.
You've got to move with the times,
yeah,
David.
Yeah, but you must remember now.
Yeah, now I'm older. Listen.
ETFs is not an asset.
Yeah.
It is a mechanism to own shares or gold or whatever. Yeah. So the mere fact that 80%, I don't know if that number's right, by the way. I just don't know. It sounds astronomically high to me. But let's put that aside. If that was investment money and the ETF didn't exist, it would just own the shares directly or the asset directly. So the mere fact that, let's say, 80% is right is via an ETF, it doesn't actually affect anything.
Yeah.
If people are going to sell shares... They were going to sell shares. Now they just sell the ETF, and the ETF's got to sell the shares.
Yeah.
But if that's not a new pool of money that has been attracted only because they're ETFs, which it isn't, this is just investment pool. It's just investment money. It's not as though the amount of equity, the amount invested in equity has gone up tenfold because ETFs exist. It doesn't. So there's a little bit of a flaw that the ETF will cause the panic. It's not a geared instrument. There's no borrowing against it.
There are some ETFs that are geared.
Well, then you're crazy.
I think the ETFs have replaced unit trusts
because
of the cost factor and that. But I think what he is complaining about is that the monies have gone into these passive investments. The problem is that whereas in the past you would have had 100 shareholders who would have rocked up to the meeting for a free cup of tea and cake, Now you only get one fund manager now who represents all of them. And he might not necessarily represent the feelings of all those 100 people. He doesn't ask them how they feel.
Well, they might not have any feelings because they don't know that they're invested in this particular
share.
So
the power invests in very few people now.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, the power to sway businesses invests in a very few business, you know, in a very few people. So they have a lot of power, these passive investment management.
Yeah. The second sort of part of the question is whether to buy undervalued Japanese equity through ETFs, also given that the Bank of Japan is such a big owner of the Japanese market.
Yeah, look, the Japanese economy is essentially going over for 20-odd years. There's a good reason why they're undervalued.
Mm. I think if ever you want to get Kane, go into Japanese
stocks. What do they call it? The widow maker?
Yeah.
The trade? Where you short, is it shorting Japanese bonds? And you just think these things are crazy?
The crazy valuation.
I can't tell you how many.
I thought that in the early 90s. Mm. These things can't be at 1.2%.
Yeah. What are they now?
Zero.
Zero, yeah. But it's the Japanese market is incredibly difficult to understand or to make money in. And there's so many good businesses there from the robotic companies and so on. But I've watched them and I've tried to monitor them. It's just, for me, it's a no-go zone.
Japan is what America could have been if Ben Bernanke wasn't there.
Yeah.
In other words, post the financial crash, if Ben Bernanke hadn't thrown the kitchen sink at every...
Exactly right, because when people get scared and they see the price of their house fall to 50% of their bond value, it truly affects your psyche.
Okay. We'll leave it there for the moment. If you'd like to send us questions, please do. You can SMS us 41392 or you can email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Welcome back. Let's have a look at what's happening to U.S. markets, which are open today. The S&P 500 up 0.86%, the Nasdaq up 1.1%, and the Dow Jones trading 0.7% to the good. Across the Atlantic, you've had the FTSE 100 gaining 0.6%, the CAC 40 very strong today up 1.2%, and the DAX up 1%. We closed about a third of a percent higher, and still with me in studio are David Shapiro and Wayne McCurry. Any particular reason why the U.S. market is looking that perky this evening?
I have no idea. Yesterday we had the PMI, which was down. We had worries about trade wars, that there was going to be no resolution or no meeting. And things were rather gloomy. Today it's up, and we haven't had a tweet from Trump.
Oh,
so whether this is Hong Kong...
We've had tweets, it hasn't affected the market.
Okay. So, I have no idea, but people feel a little perkier, mainly because of Boris Johnson and mainly because of Hong Kong. So...
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, back on to questions. Could someone please help me make sense with this mad market in capital letters? Firstly, I would like to state that I'm short 300 Amplats CFDs at 860 Rand per share. The logic was that when platinum was trading at $2,000 an ounce and the South African rand to the dollar was about 14, the stock back then traded at a high of about 600 Rand. Now that the price of platinum is half the all-time high, the price of Amplats is 50% higher at 900 Rand. I would appreciate an opinion whether I should hold on to my short or I should just take my losses and walk.
Okay. Amplats is a very different company to what you were looking at previously. They've got rid of Rustenburg. They got rid of all of the underperformers. So I don't know how you do it. Per share in issue, it is a significantly more profitable it's more profitable at a significantly lower platinum price than what it was 10 years ago.
Oh.
Significantly so. So the company itself has undergone fundamental change. Now, although platinum is half the price it was, palladium's not there.
Yeah. And rhodium.
And rhodium
is up about 80-odd percent this year.
So they're making the money out of palladium and rhodium, not the platinum price. Mm. I don't necessarily disagree with the short. Mm. These shares have run... Mm. massively, but the logic, you're comparing the wrong things in Amplats.
Yeah. Okay.
I think his trade's correct. I think that the shares have run ahead of the results. I can't say ahead of the platinum price because we've got rhodium, as you said, palladium. But I'm seeing that in gold as well. I think the shares have run ahead of the underlying or fundamentals, and I think maybe there will be a correction. Today we saw gold shares coming off quite a lot, and I don't know what platinums did, but
Anglo Plat was up today slightly, 0.8%.
But I think you're going to get some kind of fall in those shares. They've been very good performers. I can't fault them. I think some of the shares are up over 100%.
But they were all saved up. They were saved by the price.
Thing is, I suppose you've got a short on CFDs. This is costing you now if you're short, 860
If you were from the beginning of the year. But at these levels, probably you're going to find some kind of fall in these shares. But for whatever reason, these are trading reasons.
When that fall happens, who knows?
That's what's going to happen. Yeah. That, when you deal in commodity shares, just you know that you're going to be in a wild ride.
If it were you, would you cut your shorts?
No. I'd hold them.
Yeah. Okay. Any positive prospects for these three stocks over the next 3 to 5 years, being Altron, AVI, and Datatech?
Datatech, I just don't know enough about anymore, to be honest. I haven't followed the share. Mm-hmm. AVI looks good. Mm-hmm. AVI on a 3-year basis looks good. In fact, so does Altron, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Altron are picking up a lot of the EOH contracts, and I think are very well placed. And they've got a smart team there. They've done well.
See, they've come off a little bit. Yeah.
AVI, good products. Yep. I think they just need the market to. They just need a better economy.
Shoe side open gets a bit better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh no, AVI looks good.
Okay,
Green so Cross. I never.
Green Cross, they're selling, aren't they?
I think so. Closed it down. They closed down the manufacturing plant.
I didn't know anybody who would wear Green Cross shoes. I can understand Kurt Geiger, but Green Cross.
There's a lot of. Oh, I want to say ladies careful. With bunions.
Now, what is that? Use correctives. So I don't know what.
Be careful.
But Lester.
But we can say they were possibly not the most fashionable.
No, but they were certainly comfortable.
Comfortable.
Right. I should have asked this question at the time we were talking about the Amplats issue. Please ask the panel about resources. Should I continue holding or run very fast with profits for now? So you would have made lots of profits. And
we've been saying it's been the best performer forever. A long time now, and probably take some profits. Yes, I mean the world's growth is slowing down.
Yeah,
hopefully we get a settlement of the trade war, so these shares won't collapse. But the good days are probably behind you on resource shares.
Oil's done nothing. Iron ore price coming down from those lofty levels of 125 back to the 80s. Copper, I think, at a multi-month or multi-year low. You know what interested me? I took out the numbers for the first 8 months. While we had this wonderful run in gold and platinum shares, etc.
Just did nothing again.
And even Kumba was up. I looked at Anglo American was up about 2%. Billiton was up 7%. I think Glencore was down.
Down, yeah.
So there was a complete gap between...
Mining has just been gold and platinum. Mm.
But really, those shares did their best last year.
Oh, yes.
They've
done very well since 2016. But they're the best performance.
Momentum's slowing.
Yeah.
The momentum is slowing.
Okay. All right. Wayne, you were talking about AVI. What about Libstar? They came out with results today, which I have to confess, I found the formatting incredibly frustrating on the JSE SENS statement. So I haven't looked at them closely. I don't know if either of you have. You think they stack up to AVI?
In fact, if you look at that, they were listed about a year ago.
Mm.
And a lot of fanfare about their listing.
A lot of fanfare.
They disappointed. Their first set of results came crashing down to that 650 level. And slowly they've clawed their way back. And then suddenly we saw a little bit of a dip. I'm still trying to make head or tail of their numbers. I think the big seller are these own label condiments and own label what do you call them?
So packaged meals. Yeah. They do for Woolworths.
They do chickens and they
if
do.
If you've ever had a nice chicken biryani or one of their global foods.
Well, it's
Woolworths.
Either them or Rhodes.
Yeah.
Rhodes.
But they're not. In other words, the products that they sell are not bad at all. I don't know. I can't make head or tail of it, because it's been all over the place. But fundamentally, they've got some very good brands that they sell. I suppose they need, once more, they need a good economy to really survive.
Yeah. Okay. The other question, how do the CEOs of Sasol survive in their jobs after the carnage they have caused?
Well, to be honest, they're probably not going to survive.
I don't know. Well, we don't know who's responsible for all of this.
Look, ultimately, the buck stops.
Well, the CEO has to take the
buck stops. Oh, it doesn't matter where the mistake actually was made and by whom. The buck only stops one place in any company.
Well, two places. Well, they've got two. That's why two places.
They've got two CEOs. There's no, I don't know. I don't know how they get out of this.
I think it's a virtual certainty they won't survive.
I don't know how they get out of this. This has been carnage, it's going to take a long time.
Destruction. And it's not as though circumstances changed where their money was wasted. This is just poor project management.
Yeah, because I mean,
and big. Hey, this is multi-billion. This is $12 billion.
And it should have been seven.
This is half their market cap.
Yeah.
And this is even more, and we have mentioned it on the show before, but it's even worse when you consider that a plant's gone up right next door, produces pretty much the same, in fact, more than they will, because it's an operation already, and it cost $3 billion.
Yeah, cost half as much and taken half the amount of time,
I don't know. You have to question what happens in boardrooms sometimes and who finally signs off and... And you would have thought with non-executive directors and people around the table and all the kind of balances that they have, checks and balances, that someone would have managed this far, far better than it is. But it's hugely destructive.
Yeah.
This is a big company.
Yeah. Okay. MMI, with Hilly and Ms. Stain turning the business around, why does the share not go up?
I think we're going to ask Wayne this because we were discussing it before. Not quite sure how they... produced those incredible numbers and what
that's simple.
You've got to explain it to us.
First of all, the shares actually, I think, flat or slightly up on a one-year basis, and not many shares can say that. But it's still down 45% on a five-year or whatever the number is. The earnings now, I mean, clearly there was low-hanging fruit there in expenses and you could cut things down. So it's not going to be repeated again. Now the true hard work starts. Now the hard work starts because this is a highly competitive industry. It's in fact over-serviced, to be honest.
Well, I mean, and we haven't even talked about Discovery and their results today, but Old Mutual, you saw their new business up 2%. I mean, these are incremental increases.
I think even in Discovery, the new business, actually the new business written, wasn't that great.
The momentum earnings is you simply measuring off an incredibly low base in the year that you can cut costs.
Can you explain
that? They didn't cut costs. They seem to have sold more products.
So what we were puzzling over is the increase in the value of new business being 53%, I think it was, 57%.
Well, you just cut.
How
you
does
just,
that work exactly?
You just cut the costs that you attribute to the cost of writing that new business, and you can get a massive increase in the present value of that new business. Massive.
Okay.
Because you must remember, your margin's 5%. Now, if you cut expenses by 5%, your margin doubles, so therefore the value of that business doubles.
Thanks. We were feeling a bit like dumb and dumber.
No, because it seemed to suggest that they were selling a lot more product.
No, I think they're just selling more profitable product because they cut the expenses back.
Okay. What about, moving from MMI to a small company like Aframat, would you buy it?
They've always done well.
Yeah.
And they've now gone into construction mining. They've gone into mining. They're one of the few companies that has survived and done well in a very difficult period. So I don't know what they look like. I don't know where they've been.
This has been a very...
But it's been a good operation.
Look, if ever our economy does recover, if ever we do start building roads and bridges and tunnels and dams and we start expanding our manufacturing base and our mining base, there's not enough companies to do it there. Because they've all just about disappeared.
And they've got the materials, which is the better side of the business.
I think it was Stefanuti. Stefanuti, their market value was something like 62 million rand or something.
I mean, you were talking about private clients. Private clients could buy these companies.
One person could buy it.
Well, that's what I mean.
62 million. It's
like
crazy.
Buying a construction company.
That was Stefanuti stocks. I mean, it was a huge business. I don't know whether I'm quoting right or whether I looked at, there's just no value there. The trucks that they got in their yard, I think, are more than that.
Okay.
Maybe their liabilities on the other side, I don't know.
I think they are rather high. Right, if we were going to force you to stock picks this evening, what would you buy?
What did I choose again?
Spa.
Oh, yes, yeah. Why not? Market seems to be turning, economy is looking better, spa's reasonable valuation, food inflation's returning to the system. So a very similar story to ShopRite. And, well, there's the share price. So if you believe the future's better than the past, at these valuations, these shares can do quite well.
Yeah.
David?
I'm neuter. What's it? Neutral.
I'm neutered. Neuter.
I just see choppy times for the next couple of months, and I can't just.
I mean, are you talking both locally and internationally?
I just see too many problems ahead. You know, that need to be solved. I'm not bearish. I'm not going short of the market, but I'm not in a hurry to buy.
Okay.
I think that's the most bearish we've ever heard Shapiro in 30
years.
In 30 years.
I'm going to have to take him for a drink afterwards and have a counselling session.
I'm watching gaming companies. I'm watching Nvidia and I'm watching Activision Blizzard and companies like that.
Because this is what your grandchildren want for presents, right?
Yeah, but I haven't committed.
Okay, we'll leave it there, David Wayne. Thanks very much for joining us this evening. David Shapiro is from Sassman Securities. Wayne McCurry is from F&B Wealth and Investments. And we'll be back with Stockwatch tomorrow night at 7:30. Have a good evening. If we were going to force you to stock picks this evening, what would you buy?
What did I choose again?
Spa.
Oh, yes, yeah. Why not? Market seems to be turning, economy is looking better, spa's reasonable valuation, food inflation's returning to the system. So a very similar story to ShopRite. And, well, there's the share price. So if you believe the future's better than the past, at these valuations, these shares can do quite well.
Yeah.
David?
I'm neuter. What's it? Neutral.
I'm
neutered.
I just see choppy times for the next couple of months, and I can't.
Are you talking both locally and internationally?
I just see too many problems ahead, you know, that need to be solved. I'm not bearish. I'm not going short of the market, but I'm not in a hurry to buy.
Okay.
I think that's the most bearish we've ever heard Shapiro in 30
years. I know.
In 30 years.
I'm going to have to take him for a drink afterwards and have a counselling session.
I'm watching gaming companies. I'm watching Nvidia and I'm watching Activision Blizzard and companies like that.
Because this is what your grandchildren want for presents, right?
Yeah, but I haven't committed.
Okay, we'll leave it there, David Wayne. Thanks very much for joining us this evening. David Shapiro is from Sassman Securities. Wayne McCurry is from F&B Wealth and Investments. And we'll be back with Stockwatch tomorrow night at 7:30. Have a good evening.